This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. There's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Jensen, what a show we've got already underway. Going to have Rex Hager join us here from the Golf Channel over there at Royal Birkdale for the last major of the year. And then Tommy Smith to join us as well. Legendary footballer to talk all things Final Four now in the World Cup. It's down to the nitty gritty. But let's kick it off with what we saw last night and a first, if you will, in the Home Run Derby. That's where we begin with our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Make it, take it. And boy, did he take it. Jordan Walker with a walk-off, 6 home runs to end the Home Run Derby last night and beat Kyle Schwarber right there in the city of brotherly shove. Jensen, it was great having Matt Humans on in hour number one. Please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast. Take a listen on your time. I know you and Matt wanted a different result with Kyle Schwarber. Felt pretty good about that wager until Jordan Walker did something I don't think many people saw coming.
Man, what a finish it was. And congratulations to the man who is $1 million richer, nearly doubling his year salary in one night by taking that one home. Kyle Schwarber, a little consolation prize of $500K. The rest of the participants, Dave, received $150,000. But Wilson Contreras, the first hitter of the night, ends up with the longest homer, Dave. He hits some absolute tanks. He gets a $100,000 bonus for hitting the longest home run. Not that he'll need it, $14 million salary this year. But Jordan Walker, who is making a touch under $800K, congratulations to you, sir. Nice little payday. But the big winner of the night, Dave, Major League Baseball, getting rid of the shot clock. The guys that were involved, I think to a man, were very, very pleased that they didn't have to worry about the extreme cardio output of having to get all those swings off and being able to see where these balls landed again. It brought back memories of yesteryear. Job well done. Couple of tweaks and suggestions. Get a real-time score in the bottom third or bottom left, however you want to look at it, so we know where everyone's at all times. Outside of that, I think the competition was absolutely fantastic.
And good call by you and some of those lasers that we saw from Jack Kags and beyond here. Everybody getting those lasers out there. So very profitable for VSiN Pro subscribers yesterday as well. We got the All-Star Game tonight, 96th rendition of this. It's our favorite, not just you as a baseball guy, but I think if you're a fan of the four major sports, I think we get why this is the best, because you're going to try, right? I wonder, Jensen, when you see the lineups, we know the starting pitchers, obviously Sanchez against Cease here. We see no Mike Trout's going to bat lead off. That's going to be emotional. Are guys digging in to get base hits and play like a regular game, or they're all saying, all right, give me your heater. Let me see if I can turn one around here and play the long ball game.
You know it, brother. This is why this remains the ultimate exhibition of these all-star contests in all the major sports. I have already got a couple of props in play here. I am going to play the under 8 for a full unit. There are a lot of different boosts on various sports books here today, Dave. So shop around for your ability to boost to the best odds. So I have the under 8, Dave, on DraftKings at plus $1.09. I am going to take the American League to win it at plus $1.24. Kyle Schwarber to record a hit. I think he gets 2 at-bats, Dave, in that designated hitter spot and the leadoff spot. So he's going to get a chance twice, I think. Plus $1.15 on DraftKings for a half unit. And then I will take Dylan Cease, 2 or more strikeouts, plus $1.05 for a quarter unit. I think he is going to be up for the task, the adrenaline flowing. Love those props here in the Midsummer Classic tonight.
Can't wait. It is. It's absolutely my favorite. It takes me back to my childhood of you know, watching a Met in bad years be a representative here. And now the Mets are bad again, so I feel like I get all over again. We've got the Final Four in the World Cup, so we're excited about that. And I mentioned again, Tommy Smith is going to join us in the next hour. France and Spain today down there in Jerry World in Arlington, Texas. This does feel like a clash of heavyweights here. France, the small betting favorite here to get it done. We'll get England and Argentina tomorrow. But Jensen, again, outside of the United States, could you make an argument that France and Spain in a semifinal is truly as good as it gets?
it's as good as the one side could be. And as far as FIFA and Fox are concerned, this is the best Final Four you could have hoped for, man. I mean, the titans of the sport, the European champion, Spain, right now up against the well-oiled machine in France. Tactically, can't wait to see this play out. I do have a couple of massive plays already. I'll save those for best bets. I'll tell you what, I'll give you one of them right now. I am going to play France to advance into the final, a 2.5 unit play for them. Shop Round found it on Novig at -$1.47. That's the best price I've seen today. I get it. We're also going to be in a win-win situation. You've got your cross-board parlay available and alive on Spain. I have mine as well with the Phillies to win the World Series at 109-1. So kind of a win-win situation for me selfishly. I think France is the better side, so I'm going to play them to advance 2.5 unit play to get into the final past Spain today.
Le Bleu. I can pick up what you're putting down there. And again, we call those a J-Lew specials, by the way, when we do those cross-board parlays. So I had to get one in the spirit of it here with Spain and Rory McIlroy at the Open Championship. And that's the next topic here. It's the Open. We can't wait. Again, I'm not great with time changes. I'm just going to stay up all week and then figure out once the coverage starts here to get to the last major of the year over there at Royal Birkdale in England. And you know, I really like Matt Fitzpatrick, and it's a guy we had Matt Youmans on in our number one. He's going to be on Matt's card this week. He's a guy in Matt Fitzpatrick that might make his way onto my card. He had some interesting comments. We're going down this weird rabbit hole now with gambling and golf. Let's hear from Matty Fitz on the eve of this Open Championship.
Footballers, tennis players, you name it, everyone's getting messages of, oh, you missed that penalty, you cost me this, or you didn't make a birdie, you cost me this. Like, I've had my fair share. I would say every golfer that's played a professional tournament has had a message of abuse from someone that is related to gambling. I mean, you could see it this week. You go and type in a player's name that maybe isn't playing well, maybe someone who's favored to play well. You type the name into Twitter and you'll just see their name followed by abuse after abuse after abuse. It is definitely becoming a problem. And the issue is, obviously, particularly in golf, you know, it would be very easy to influence a bet, whether it's you're shouting on someone's backswing, shouting on a putting stroke. It's really easy. And obviously that is really hard to monitor, but it is definitely an issue.
He had me and then he lost me. Okay, Jensen, like I'm with him on the Twitter stuff. It is a cesspool. We talk about it all the time, but you know that if you go in there, if Matt Fitzpatrick goes on Twitter and searches his name after those comments, don't do it, Matt, because they're all blasting you today. Right. So I get that. But the part about affecting the players, because I'm going to yell in your backswing because of gambling. Ugh. Jensen, we're right back to the Jordan Spieth stuff. What is going on? Is this a memo that the players are what is that? That they're actually going to say that bad fan behavior is because of gambling and no mention of alcohol or just being a bad fan. Why do we have to tie that to the roots of gambling that somebody might yell in your backswing?
Yeah. Okay. First, you know, those guys, we have an incredibly soft generation of athletes, especially in that sport, and it really stinks. Second of all, I remember a tournament in Augusta in April. It happens every year, Dave. There's no devices or anything allowed there, but I'm willing to wager that plenty of fans have bet before they've come through the ropes there at the Masters. Mm-hmm. It's one of the greatest, most affordable concession, you know, pricing tournaments in history. I believe I'm seeing the euro prices of alcohol there across the pond, very affordable as well. I also remember a great friend of the program, Tiger Woods, where people would yell when he was in his backswing all the time. We'd never heard a peep about gambling. So I'm sorry, no. Matt, you're not winning this. And by the way, Dave, I think Jeff Seely said this too, and I think it was a great point. Some of the most degenerate gamblers in the world are golfers. Okay.
How many
times, you know, you get together and you got a little something on it. Phil Mickelson wrote a book, I think, and has a lot of documented issues with other people. So I take no stock in what Matt Fitzpatrick said, what Jordan Spieth said. Very soft. If you don't want to see the hate, don't go on social media. You're dumb to do it anyway. You already know. You're almost inviting it. It's stupid. So, again, let's move on from this whole gambling thing. I'm sure they got some talking points from it. But at the same time, PGA's in bed with it. There's on ESPN, the ESPN app, you can get to a dedicated channel that is live gambling, live betting. Okay, Matt, if you don't like it, then we got to remove all the alcohol sales too, because that also is unruly fan behavior. So pick your poison here, pal. You want it all gone, or you want to just have a little better backbone about dealing with the adversity? I played at the highest level. I got yelled at by drunk people. They weren't live betting me, you know, to give up the lead. Oh, maybe they were. Who cares? Who cares? You're professional. Act like it. This is ridiculous on so many levels.
Amen. It's just, it's getting out of control that we're just going to scapegoat everything now and say the bad fan behavior, yelling in a backswing, is now gambling related. It's very odd. And by the way, the point about the phones is a great one. We made it too after the U.S. Open and Wyndham Clark, and he was getting badgered out there. They might have been rooting for Scottie Scheffler, by the way. Just take away the phones. I don't think anybody has a problem with that. You mentioned Augusta. They don't allow phones on the grounds, and nobody's unruly. There's got to be smarter common denominators than gambling. We can't blame gambling for all this stuff. You can clean this up, PGA Tour. You can clean this up, major championships, if you want. I think it starts with the phones, and I think most fans would say, fine, I want to go to the event. You can have my phone. There won't be any stupid TikTok videos being made out there that's going to distract a golfer, and then you can't blame the boogeyman of gambling. So we can end this charade here, Matt Fitzpatrick, Jordan Spieth, and maybe look to other reasons why you guys are bitching and moaning so much about this stuff. My goodness. Okay, when we come back, let's talk a little bit about our football here. You can yell whatever you want when the players play that game, and nobody cares. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books. The VSiN NFL betting guide is out as we speak. So whether you're going to bet those futures, win totals, divisional races, MVP, Roys, or just the Super Bowl in general, our guide is going to help you get ahead of the market before training camp even begins, and it's getting ready to start, people. So inside, you're going to find breakdowns of all 32 teams, projected win totals, best bets from VSiN experts, future analysis, and power ratings, and so much more. Get it today with our football special. It's just $175. The sooner you sign up, the more value you will get. Full access to everything we do across every major sport through the Super Bowl. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video, and the VSiN Watch app. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Jensen Lewis, when you look at the AFC West this year, and if you just go by our betting guide alone, and you look at the experts that we have here in the network, it's a very polarizing division, I do believe, because you're going to have the Chiefs backers that say, hey, this team is going to be back to being the Chiefs. All right. Hey, the Broncos won the division a year ago. We know Bo Nix coming off the ankle, but he's going to be just fine, and we trust Sean Payton. Okay, the Raiders, I think, is the extreme long shot. We understand why there. The Chargers might be the most confusing team, at least in the betting market this year. Win total set at 9.5 to make the playoffs. You got to lay a little bit here, $1.68. So in Harbaugh and Herbert, you might trust to win the division. Get almost 2-1 plus $1.85. How about the AFC plus $7.50? You think they can actually win the whole thing? The Bolts 16-1. Jensen, let's just start off with the coach quarterback, because that's where I like to start off with handicaps here. I trust both of those guys. But if I trust one more than the other, I got to be honest with you, I think I trust the coach a little bit more than I do the star quarterback.
Well, that's the operative word, right? In a great spot in our daily gridiron countdown to Canton here, because the coaching hires are probably as noteworthy, if you will, as some of the player additions. So you get Greg Roman and you know, looking at where the playoff exit was, they're trying to get a fresh start. They go out and they get the boy wonder in Mike McDaniel as the OC. You get a Shanahan-rooted, motion-heavy, perimeter-oriented scheme, outside zone, misdirection, quick timing throws, yards after catch. The idea, I think, is pretty clear. You're trying to get the ball out of Justin Herbert's hands faster to protect him, number one. You want to have a healthy Omarion Hampton, who was such a game changer for them before the injury, and you want him to be as fresh and as nimble as possible. And so offensively, I think you and I looked at where when that hire was made, that was an automatic upgrade of, oh, baby, okay, Jim Harbaugh knows exactly where the bread is buttered. He knows he's got not only a franchise changing quarterback, but he's got a chance to have an MVP quarterback if Justin Herbert can keep the mileage and the damage off of the body for as long as possible throughout the regular season and hopefully deep into the AFC playoffs. Well, the scheme, I think, is going to be a lot better. And I'm very excited that Mike McDaniel no longer has to worry about talking to the media. He can go back into the lab. He can do what he's best at. And those guys can cook up anything and everything they want. Because let's face it, Dave, the weaponry is really good. It's really good for the Chargers here. The other side of this, too, and you and I looked at it even in our Circa Millions handicaps week in and week out. This team is so different with a healthy Joe Alt, with a reinforced offensive line. It is night and day, the effectiveness. That's probably where the handicap begins for me. If you can promise me that for three quarters of the season, we have a healthy offensive line for the Chargers, I'm pretty bullish on them. But that ultimately is a huge question mark. The defense, really damn good. Really, really good. Now, what can they do for an encore here? They get Derwin James with the multi-year extension. Khalil Mack comes back for year 13. God, it's crazy to think 13 years for Khalil Mack. But they went heavy in the trenches, man. They wanted to reinforce the line of scrimmage. I send this to you because I know you're extremely high on this team. I picked the Broncos to win the West. I still trust that the Broncos have the fewest amount of question marks. Where are you most bullish for the Chargers this year? Because I know you're high on them, not only for the division, but potentially overall in the AFC as well.
You nailed it a couple spots of why I'm so bullish on this football team this year and why I did pick them to win this division. And I think the key is up front. And it, like, remember the old TV show, The Odd Couple, with Oscar Madison and Felix Unger? I mean, I'm really showing my age on this one now. Can two men that completely are opposite live together, right? That's Jim Harbaugh to me. And Mike McDaniels, they feel like complete polar opposites, but I think in reality, they're not. And this is the weird thing. This odd couple, I think, is actually going to work, because when Mike McDaniels was down there in Miami and they were having the number one offense and they were putting up 60 plus points against the Broncos not that long ago, how are they doing it, Jensen? Yeah, they had the speed on the outside that everybody talked about, right, with Tyreek Hill back in the day. And they certainly had weapons there. It was the running game. And that's what they're going to get back to. Jim Harbaugh wanted to hire an offensive coordinator that's going to exact his vision, which is run the football first. So, yes, we're always going to look to the flash, and we're going to look to Herbert and the star power and the Hollywood looks and the hair and MVP and all that. It's going to be running the football. That's what this team is going to win with. Herbert's going to be great. And I'm not saying he's a complimentary piece to the offense. Absolutely not. But what I'm saying is it's not going to all fall on his right arm. It's not going to fall on how many times did he get sacked last year. When you get back Slater and Alt to bookend tackle this thing, that is massive. As big as any acquisitions, and they got to stay healthy, that anybody else will have around the league. So that's what I'm looking at first and foremost. I got to look at this and say this might be an under team a lot this year. They're going to run the ball more. And then when Herbert needs to make a play, whether it's with his arm or his legs, by the way, because he can really run as well for a big guy, they're going to ball control a lot of this stuff. Chris O'Leary is the new defensive coordinator now that Jesse Minter is the new guy in Baltimore. And he's kind of coming from this Harbaugh tree, right? So he comes from the college ranks, and they all know each other. And the Harbaugh tree is kind of a big family, whether you're still in it or you've moved on like Minter has. So they trust O'Leary to be able to hold this defense together. And Jim Harbaugh, even though he's an old quarterback, is kind of a defensive minded guy first. So I think all of the kind of philosophies of the coordinators are going to align with the head coach. And for that reason, I think this is a solid football team. I think at 9.5 for a win total at juiced a little bit at minus -$1.30, I think it's very bankable that this is at least a 10 win football team. Remember, Jensen, they won 11 games last year, and it felt like Justin Herbert was running for his life without his tackles, and they still won 11 games. So why would I believe with a revamped offensive line and two potentially Pro Bowl guys on either side that this isn't even a better football team? It's one of my favorite plays on the board, over 9.5 win total here. I do like them at plus money at almost 2-1 to win the division. It is predicated on health. You mentioned Hampton coming back from injury as well. So there's a lot of guys coming back from injury that we're counting on as well. But first and foremost, if the defense is as good or at least close to as good as it was a year ago, and the offensive line is markedly better, this football team is going to win a lot of games, and they're going to do it in the way they want to do it. Run the ball, ball control, and that normally leads to unders in the NFL.
Second toughest schedule, according to our VSiN NFL betting guide, and I make no bones about wanting to map out in Survivor contests. And if you are in Circus Survivor, obviously there are going to be teams that you have to hold on to. The Chargers are not the case, but there is a littered amount of difficult games after week two. Think about it, Dave. If you don't burn the Chargers, which I think a lot of people will in week one at home against the Cardinals, your next quote-unquote viable spot is on the road the following week against Vegas, because after that, at Buffalo, home against Seattle, at Denver, home against Kansas City, home against the Rams, at Houston, at the Ravens, maybe the Jets, maybe. But you got to have the patience of Job to go there if you don't burn it early. Are you a burn the Charger early in Survivor fan, or are you going to hold on to him for later?
I'm holding on, baby. Hold on loosely, but don't let go. 38 special. I like that Jets week 11. If you can have that patience, as you alluded to, Jensen, and get, I do think that would be the spot for me. Again, you know, early on, and Jim Harbaugh is, he's a little bit different than some of these other coaches. I'm not saying some of the other coaches are looking at the first couple of weeks as extended, you know, old preseasons, but with the elongated regular season, it's, yes, every game matters, and that's what we love about this league. Nobody mails anything in. But I do think this football team is going to get better and better and better, because it's kind of like that, you know, push the big boulder down the hill mentality. They want to yeah. crush you physically, right? And that momentum might take a little bit of time to build. But, Jensen, when they get there, week 11, Jets coming to L.A., give me the Chargers in that spot if you're a Survivor fan and have a little bit of patience. You are watching By the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're tuned in to VSiN By the Books right here on VSiN.
If you're betting at Circus Sportsbook for a limited time, you can fund your wagers and contest entries with crypto using BurraPay and pay no BurraPay transaction fees. It's fast, secure, and another way Circa continues to innovate for sports bettors. So all you got to do is visit BurraPay.com to learn more. Take advantage of fee-free crypto wagering before August 31st, exclusively at Circus Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. BurraPay transaction fees waived as part of a campaign. Standard cryptocurrency network and exchange fees may apply. I do know people that are in the crypto world. I am not one of those people taking advantage of that offer right there at Circus Sports. So if you're in Las Vegas and you're a crypto person, check it out. A pretty good deal here, fee-free through August 31st. Jensen, here we are on the eve tonight of the Midsummer Classic. We always look forward to this All-Star game, but it also gives you a chance to kind of reset, take a look back at some of those predictions that we had before the year began. Let's take a look today at the NL Central. And you had some bold proclamations, and I think there's only one that I can say, all right, we'd like to have that one back, but I think a lot of these other ones looking pretty darn good.
Well, okay, so let's start with the one that I'm kind of really excited about. That is going to be the Cincinnati Reds, and it was two individuals that have had incredible years that have garnered all-star berths as well. Chase Burns finishes top three in strikeouts, and Sal Stewart finishes top three in National League Rookie of the Year voting. We are well on pace, my friend, to not only accomplishing both of those, and if you look just at where we are in the strikeout portion here with Chase Burns, you know, he's right at 118. To get to number three right now would be 144. That's where Christopher Sanchez is. So a little work to be done here. But again, you know, to have 118 and 102 and two thirds, very solid. Sal Stewart, on the other hand, yeah, we're liking that at the moment. You know, he is was at one point the favorite in this award market about a month and a half into the season. Currently the second betting choice on DraftKings with J.J. Weatherholt, -$1.55. Sal Stewart is +280. And then it's a way, way large chasm with Carson Benj at 15-1 as the number three choice. That would lead us to St. Louis, right? If J.J. Weatherholt, Rookie of the Year, my bold take for the Cardinals, J.J. Weatherholt bursts into a starting role, hitting 20-plus homers and stealing 20-plus bases. Well, Dave, if we look at the break here and see where J.J. Weatherholt is, we're looking at 13 home runs. We need 20. We're only seven away. And 20 stolen bases. We're at 9 stolen bases. So we could hit that one well before the end of the year. We always are accountable here for the ones that we don't get right. And this is probably the biggest swing and miss I've had so far in the VSiN MLB betting guide. I had the Milwaukee Brewers. My bold take, they finish under 500, missing the postseason. They will not finish under 500. They will certainly not miss the postseason. I just, again, Dave, I didn't know if they could turn the trick 3 years in a row. It is an organization that is incredibly well run. You deal Freddie Peralta. We didn't know what we'd get out of Brandon Woodruff. The offense doing what they did last year. Could they turn that all over again in just a year's time? Man, tip of the hat. Come on down, Milwaukee. Your table is ready and then some. I think they're as well balanced a team in the National League, and I will certainly eat crow for that bold take. They've done and even followed up in some ways, Dave, even better where they are now than even winning 97 games, the most in the regular season last year. I think they're well positioned. They probably need one other ace-esque starter to go along with Jacob Mizorowski. I don't think Kyle Harrison, at least from the reports, it doesn't sound like they're as worried about the forearm tightness, albeit let's put a pin in that and kind of follow that development. But Milwaukee, certainly one of the class teams of the National League yet again here in 2026.
By the way, though, I mean, with the Chase Burns and the Sal Stewart and the J.J. Weatherholt, even Connor Griffin before the injury, I think you're spot on with what that would have been or could have been for him in Pittsburgh as well. Those are great forecasting there. Look, Milwaukee, they stun me every year, too. And, you know, it's kind of like one of those, you know, fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, or shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. And I'm starting to get there with Milwaukee. I keep getting fooled by them, and I don't take them seriously. And I really should, obviously, in the betting market now. And we brought this up yesterday, too, Jensen, that I'm not saying it's a Freddie Peralta, go get him out of New York type thing. But it would make some sense now that you won that offseason trade with the Mets and you get all those assets already. You could get them on the cheap here. Is it a Peralta type guy to put at the top of the rotation with Miz that nobody's going to be the betting favorite over the Dodgers? We get that. Look, you're looking at the World Series odds. Dodgers are +$1.95. Milwaukee's 11-1. There is still a chasm between those two teams in the betting market, but they could close that gap, Jensen, with a Freddie Peralta type guy, even if it's that not that name only.
I don't know if that does it for me. Ironically, you know, Milwaukee had Freddie Peralta. The way he's pitching right now, I want nothing to do with him. Detroit would have to fall off majorly for Milwaukee to even entertain getting Tarek Skubal. I still don't think in my heart of hearts, when we talk in 3 weeks, a day after the deadline, that that's going to be the case. I still think he's going to be a member of the Tigers. The other part of it, too, is looking at, you know, just some of the starting pitching that could potentially be available. Dave, remember the refrain here at the deadline, or excuse me, at the midpoint of the All-Star break. 23 of the 30 major league teams are within four games of a playoff spot. You can't even, outside of maybe the Angels, the Royals, the Rockies, the Giants, those are probably the only four teams at the moment that you can say, yeah, they are sellers. They're going to be taking calls. They're not going to make the postseason. Outside of that, you can't definitively say the rest of those teams are out, including your New York Mets. Like, they could come out of the break here, win seven in a row, and all of a sudden they're going to say, we're going to keep the band together and we're going to try and figure this thing out. I am kind of looking towards, you know, does a Robbie Ray do anything for you in Milwaukee? Eh, maybe. Does Joe Ryan do anything? But that would necessitate the Twins, who are just a couple of games out of a playoff spot, being sellers. I don't see that happening. You know, those are acquirable assets, but it still doesn't move the needle enough for me. If I'm looking at when the Dodgers eventually get healthy, they're going to get Blake Snell back at some point. Maybe, just maybe, they'll get Glasnow back in September. But you already have Yamamoto doing what he's doing. Ohtani's doing what he's doing. We got to watch the left knee inflammation, though. We got to make sure he's okay there. Obviously, with Justin Robleski, all-star this year, has done for them. Emmett Sheehan's been unbelievable. They have too many weapons, and they're going to be in on Tarek Skubal if Detroit is going to sell. So as they say in Spectre, one of the great 007 James Bond films, you're a kite flying in a hurricane, Mr. Bond. And that's what the National League is up against with where the Dodgers will eventually be at the end of this regular season.
All right, Your Honor, let me approach the bench and redirect, because I look at the Chicago Cubs in the north side and I can't figure them out. There could be a stretch of a season, 10 games, where they look like the best team in baseball. Then they can go through another stretch of the season where they look like the worst team in baseball. So, I guess at the whole, it looks pretty good as we get to the All-Star break here for the Cubs. What about their prognosis here? I don't know if they can run down Milwaukee. Milwaukee's almost a 5-1 betting favorite here to win this division. But if you're the Cubby Bear on the north side, and I know that they, from my days in Chicago, sometimes get mad with ownership that they don't spend like a big market team here, is what would behoove them at the break to make a real run like Milwaukee to try to challenge the Dodgers?
So technically they have the assets in-house. They just need to get healthy in the rotation. I mean, Edward Cabrera was awesome for them. It was a big trade they made with Miami. Owen Casey going back, one of their top prospects. He had the strained hamstring, very unfortunate. Justin Steele still working back from the UCL revision repair from April of last year. You would hope that Jameson Taillon, also a strained hamstring, right and around the same time frame, a couple of weeks in between him and Edward Cabrera going down. Those are the assets internally if they don't want to make another move. Remember, they did get David Peterson from your Mets in June there. Back into the bullpen, could definitely use some reinforcements. I think the offense is fine. I mean, they're fifth in scoring. They're eighth in homers. They're fourth in OPS. Not really worried about them. And Alex Bregman's starting to look like the Alex Bregman from last year with Boston. He's a PCA, he's an all-star. Bush has been amazing. So I think they, again, that's another team. If Detroit's out of it, they're going to go try and get Tarek Skubal. And that would be a guy you would need at the top of your rotation if you think you're going to be able to hang with the LA Dodgers in October.
You can make the argument top to bottom. It's the best division in baseball. I know that there's going to be debates out there with the Reds, the way they started off the year, looking like one of the better teams in baseball now. Not looking so good here, but still very talented group there. If that is the worst team, that's the floor of the division. It's a pretty darn good division top to bottom here as we have reached the Midsummer Classic. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Rex Hoggard. He's overseas. We can't wait to talk all things Open Championship, the British Open here for us in the United States. That's all next right here on VSiN by the Books.
By the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Tuesday morning. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you. We always look forward to our conversations with Rex Hoggard. does a great job. Senior writer for Golf Channel. Give him a follow on X at Rex Hoggard GC and joins us now here overseas on the Progressive Guest Line. Good afternoon to you, Rex, over there at Royal Birkdale in England, I do believe. I wonder what the biggest storyline is for you coming into this. Is it Scotty coming off the missed cut? Is it Tommy Fleetwood on his home course trying to get his first major championship? Is it Rory McIlroy trying to get a second major this year? What is the number one storyline in your eyes?
All of those are really good. I'm going to go with the golf course, and not just because it's a major championship and we're playing Lynx Golf. Those are pretty compelling reasons, but I'm going to go with the golf course because this is going to be one of those unique years. And the comparison that I would give, it's not even relatively recent. It may be 2006 at Royal Liverpool, and of course Tiger Woods put on that show and hit nothing but four iron around that golf course. And those who are tuning in from the United States probably look at the golf course and think, what is wrong with that place? And nothing is the answer. It's going to be brown. It's going to be bouncy. It's going to be purple by the time I think we get to the weekend, because they haven't had any rain here in over a month, and really none's in the forecast. There's a slight chance over the weekend. And you hear the winds, and it's blowing right now, gust to about 20 miles an hour. And so all of those things are combined to create probably one of the most unique tests in all of golf, not even major championship golf. This is going to be one of those courses where you're going to see players on every single tee box trying to figure out what to do. Just give myself a chance to put it in play. And maybe that's driver, maybe that's a one iron, and anything else in between. And it's, in my opinion, as kind of a golf nerd, it's the most enjoyable type of golf to watch, because it really challenges the best players in the world not to stand every tee and hit driver like we see them do the other 51 weeks out of the year. This is entertaining to me.
It's going to be great. Rex, I believe I saw Smiley Kaufman post crispy is how he would describe where the course conditions are right now. I know that we look at usually the Scottish Open as maybe that dress rehearsal for guys getting their feet wet or staying dry, understanding what it's like to play some Lynx golf again. Let me start with Rory with you, because we know he kind of did the weeks leading into Augusta where he was flying down there. He was getting himself ready, being familiarized with all of it. Kind of the same refrain here. We were taking some time overseas to be able to play, not the mileage on his odometer to this point that we've traditionally seen. Your handicap of where Rory sits entering here, the second shortest odds behind Scottie Scheffler, and not a lot of daylight on the odds board between those two.
And I wouldn't imagine there should be, to be quite frank with you. We had this conversation. Let's go back to last year's Masters, not even this year, in April. Go back to April. And the idea, he wins the Masters, you get to the top of the mountain, it's the career Grand Slam. What's next? What's going to motivate him? And the answer was simple. There's still plenty of benchmarks in his career, and I think he's talked about it. He wants to win major championships at iconic courses, and this is one of those iconic courses he wants to win. And yeah, I think playing last week at the Scottish Open, where he played well, I mean, he had not bad holes on Saturday, but otherwise he was pretty much in the hunt the entire week. On will be similar conditions. I don't want to compare him to what we're going to see this week, because that's completely different than you'll see anywhere else in the world of golf right now. But I love not only where he is with his game, and I think last week the driver kind of came around a little bit. He started feeling a little bit more comfortable off the tee, but the idea that he knows exactly where he wants to play his best golf, and that was the Masters this year. You mentioned it. Like, he spent so much time at Augusta National before the Masters, learning every inch of that golf course. This is a similar situation at Shinnecock, the U.S. Open, and he'll feel the same way coming in here. He will know this golf course. He will be prepared. It's just a matter of execution.
You know, Rex, I'm looking at the other guy here in the top of that 1-2 punch, and that's Scottie Scheffler coming off his first miscut in forever. And, you know, it could be, hey, now the rest is going to help him out this week. Or the other part of that equation is there something, dare I say, wrong with world number one? Where are you on Scottie and his mentality coming in to defend this Open Championship?
I think the only thing that's wrong with Scottie is golf. And that's a weird way of saying it. But I always equate this to, if you, those who really pay attention will look, and Nelly Korda didn't have a great year last year on the LPGA Tour. This year, she's already won two majors and multiple times, and she's having a Nelly Korda type year. And when she was asked about what's the difference, because statistically, you can't find anything that's different. Actually, she's hitting the ball better this year than she did last year, and she shrugged. And sometimes golf gets in the way. Last week was different, missing the cut, and it's how he missed the cut. Scotty, I'm talking about at the Scottish Open, it's because he didn't hit his irons well, and that's his hallmark, it's his go-to. That was a little surprise, but I can't imagine that we're going to be sitting on this phone a month and a half from now when he's at the Tour Championship and he's still stuck on win-win for the year. Now, I'm not saying he's going to win this week because clearly it's one of those kind of different tests, but he's far too talented and he's only off by percentage points. This is so minute and the margins are so small that eventually everything is going to fall into place and he's going to win for the end of the year again. And he's going to win big. I truly believe that.
All right, Rex, we always love to look at the Euros when they're kind of on their home turf here, if you will. And a couple of names, one that I know a lot of people are looking at because of his recent form, Matt Fitzpatrick, a guy that's upwards of 16 to 19 to 1 in some markets. Tyrrell Hatton, who's always a guy that when you think of Lynx golf, that's a name that is up there. And I feel like his number is far higher, inflated, and maybe even a better value there. And then I know that Dave always loves to look at a villain, Patrick Reed, the U.S. Coming overseas, and a guy that everyone loves to hate. Let me ask you about those three guys and kind of your expectations of them this weekend.
I'll get P. Reed out of the way early. I cannot wait for him to come back to PGA Tour at the end of this year in the fall because of the reasons you pointed out. He's just different. I don't want to call him the villain. I don't think that's particularly fair. I know it's an easy out sometimes, but he just thinks about things differently, and he doesn't particularly care what people think about him, and he loves being the center of the spotlight. All of those things that maybe rub people the wrong way, but it really makes for an interesting storytelling, and that's what I do for a living. For the other two, is we're going to do this tonight on Live from on Golf Channel. We're going to do like an English whip around. And the idea is you have Matt Fitzpatrick, and you mentioned Tommy Fleetwood. So of course, he's a Southport boy. He grew up there. This would mean the world to him. And Tyrrell Hatton. And I would even put Aaron Rye in that conversation. And certainly Justin Rose. All of the Englishmen who are trying to end the curse. And it's essentially a curse that no Englishman has won this event in decades. And if you gave me a list of those players, I'm going to lean into Fitz. Simply because of what he's done this season. He's won multiple times, won three times this year on the PGA Tour. He had a really good chance to win last week. He's a player, just like I just talked about with Rory McIlroy. He's not going to be surprised by anything that happened this week. And that's saying something on a links course where you can end up in some weird spots and end up getting a bad bounce and suddenly you're chipping out sideways, just trying to play for bogey. And I think no one is better suited, at least among that group, than Fitz.
I love that selection this week. And by the way, if you're watching this on FanDuel Sports Network, YouTube TV, and you see the odds board, all you're seeing on the odds board, Rex, are Americans or Europeans. That's it. And then, ironically, last week at the Scottish Open, you got Tom Kim from Korea, and you've got Minwoo Lee that were 1 and 2, right, from Australia and Korea up at the top of that leaderboard. It feels like a Ryder Cup is going to break out. There's been so much talk about the fans in New York from the United States Open, of course, and maybe unruly fans there. Is this going to get Ryder Cup-y at all with the fan base there at Royal Birkdale?
It's strange. We were walking in, I think I got here on Saturday, and I was seeing on the board that there's sort of a new fan policy about what you can yell and what you can't yell and what you're allowed to do. And if you'll get escorted off, you say certain things. And it's all in response to what started back at last year at Beth Page during the Ryder Cup. And then, of course, at Shinnecock. This is at Long Island. I don't think you're going to have it. And if it is, it's going to be very much a one-off because I really believe the crowd here will police themselves. They're not going to put up with that. So I would be surprised if we get anything close to that. Although, if you end up with an American, I mean, best example is Patrick Reed, Rory McIlroy. Somehow, if the golf gods give us that on Sunday afternoon coming down the stretch, yeah, that could potentially get nasty.
That is fantastic. I love it. Okay, last one from me, Rex. I know we ask you at all the majors. I'll put it to you this way. Who are in the final two groups in your eyes headed into Sunday afternoon as we tune in from the States here that will ultimately be in contention there to win the Open?
This is a head and heart conversation. My heart wants Tommy Fleetwood. I just think it would just be an amazing story. In the way, imagine a scenario where, I don't know, I'm sure you guys are following the World Cup, but you could have England in the final of the World Cup on Sunday afternoon and Tommy Fleetwood going to try to win, essentially on his home course, to become the first Englishman to do it in decades. Like, can you write that one any better? I'm not quite sure you could. I did. That one's pretty good. I think the pressure might be too much, so I would go to some of the staples. I like the way John Rahm's head is this week, and he's always played links golf well. And I think Scotty, as I said, is going to come around eventually. Why not this week?
Very quickly, 30 seconds ago, Rex, are you going to be at the pubs there this week? Like, how does dinner work there in England?
Oh, my gracious, a pub. Who would go there? Yes, I will definitely be at the pub. I'm right next door to a pub And I think that the English match was two nights ago, and I had to be there because I wasn't going to get any sleep anyway. It was pretty loud.
That is amazing. Rex, can't wait to watch on Golf Channel Live from you guys. Do a fantastic job breaking down this and every major tournament, every tournament for the matter there. Give him a follow on X at Rex Hoggard GC for Golf Channel. Okay, we've got a lot more to get to. And Jensen, when we come back, maybe some chaos candidates to Rex's point that maybe one of those guys he mentioned could end up as a potential chaos candidate. That's all next right here on VSiN by the Books.